Well, thank the Lord tonight for Calvary. And we are where we are. We are what we are. And all because of what he did upon that old rugged cross that we called Calvary. And thank God for salvation that he gives to us. And I pray that we'll live up to the name that we carry. And we carry the name Christian. And we're to be Christ-like. And we are dealing in these last three Wednesday nights, we've been dealing with some things concerning our walk with the Lord and the rewards and the blessings that God gives to us. We started out on two or three Wednesday nights ago on some motivation that we have to serve the Lord. One of them, well, I think the most important maybe, is that motivation of love that he gives to us, that we are constrained by the love of Christ, that we are that we know that we are going to have blessings if we love him, we'll love others, and therefore that will be expressed in our our personal walk with the Lord, our personal life. Last week we dealt quite a bit with some things about the judgment seat of Christ and how important that is for the believer, and how that we are getting things, sending things over, where we can have rewards one day. And tonight we're going to be looking at the five different crowns that are mentioned in the scripture. But last week we dealt with the gold, the silver, the precious stone, the wood, the hay, and the stubble. God gives gifts to each of us as a believer. We have, first of all, the gift of eternal life, the gift of salvation, and this naturally after that, God begins to work in our life so that we can work for him. The Lord didn't save us just to sit down and say, thank God I'm going to heaven. He gave us a task to do. He gave us a job to complete. And then he gives us ability or talents whereby we can do those things that are pleasing unto him. Those gifts are mentioned many times in the scripture. We have different gifts that a person has, or talents that God has given and bestowed upon different people. Not all of us have the same talent. Not all of us have the same gift. And God judges us not according to someone else, but he judges us according to what we have and what he gives to us and how we treat those things that he has blessed us with. No one has all the gifts. No one has everything. But what we do have, we can use it for his honor and for his glory. And when we come to the judgment seat of Christ that we dealt with last Wednesday night, this is where we will be judged according to how we use the talents, how that we use the gifts that God gives to us, and how that we are faithful to him. And when all is said and done throughout these different messages, and when it's all said and done tonight, the main thing that is involved in the life of every believer, it just comes down to one word, and that word is faithfulness, to be faithful to the Lord. He certainly has been faithful to us. I can say he's been faithful to me, and you can say that he has been very faithful to you, because one day he came to you in faith where you could believe, and that gift was given to you that you have eternal life. And now we build upon the foundation. We noticed there in 1 Corinthians 3 last week that we have no other foundation than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus our Lord. And we dealt a little bit about the foundation, how that we are to build upon that. And then in 1 Corinthians 3 and 13, the Bible says that every man's work shall be manifest, or it will just simply will be made known. And this is what takes place at the judgment seat of Christ, that our works, our deeds, our rewards will be given, our joys will be there, and we have that foundation that we build upon, and we can build upon it any way that we want to build. It doesn't mean the Lord is happy with every article that we use, but we can build upon that foundation that does not change, which is, of course, none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. The command that God gives us to love and to cherish the things of the Lord and to go into all the world and to preach that gospel gives us the message, and therefore we begin to build upon the foundation of our Lord. And we notice that the foundation is Christ. We build upon it gold. Gold in the scriptures always representative of God or deity. We build upon it godly things, good things, scriptural things that we have in our life. We build upon it not only gold, but we build silver. Silver is always a price of redemption. You'll note that in the scripture, when somebody is redeemed, or if the price of redemption is always in accordance to certain amount of silver. And when we redeem something, we redeem it with that which is right. And Jesus was betrayed for 30 pieces of silver, therefore giving us the redemption of our soul and our life that we have through him. And then we had reference to the precious stones. And the stones are nothing more than just the people that we deal with, that we are to witness to and to tell to them the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. Those are the good things that we build on the foundation. Those are the things that will last. Those are the things that will endure the test. And we noted that the test is by, yet so as by fire. And then there's three other things that were mentioned, wood, hay, and stubble. There in 1 Corinthians 3, these are the works of the flesh. These are the things we do just because we desire, and nothing to do with spiritual things. And these are things that will not last. They will not endure. They will be burned up at the judgment seat of the Lord. We noted last week that this judgment is for nobody except believers. Sunday night, we had the message in Revelation chapter number 20, that tells us about the great white throne judgment, that is the judgment for the unbeliever. But tonight we're dealing with you and I. We're dealing with Christians. We're dealing with people that have come to know Christ, and we are building on the foundation. We're working for our rewards. We do not work to go to heaven, but we ought to be working for the blessings of God here in this life, and then also in the life that is to come. We have a place prepared for us, and therefore we have those things that we will have for us. And so when we use our gifts that God gives us for his honor and for his glory, then we're going to be having the blessings and the rewards that God has in store for us. But when we live just for self, then those things will be burned up. So tonight I want us to, those are the rewards, and there is a difference between, I believe, between the rewards and the blessings that God gives us and the crowns that God gives to different ones. As I noted last week, just in the last part of the message, I gave you those different crowns, their titles, and tonight we'll be looking at the scripture verses. We'll be looking at those things that are said, and some of them doesn't have a lot to be said, but it gives you good detail about what it's all about. But to begin with tonight, turn over to the book of Revelation, chapter number 4. Revelation chapter number 4. We have noted in our study that as soon as we are raptured out of this world as a believer, we believe then will be the judgment seat of Christ. In Revelation chapter 4, we believe is our chapter 4 verse 1 is a picture of us being caught away, snatched away from this earth to glory. And John said, after this, behold, a door is open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as a trumpet talking to me, which said, come up hither. We believe that is what we call the rapture, or the gathering unto him. And so we are in his presence immediately. And this is where we believe that the judgment seat will take place. Now notice in verse number 4, it says, round about the throne were 24 seats or thrones, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. In the verse number 10, and they and the 24 elders fell down before him that sat on the throne, and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever, and cast and casteth forth their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. Now, we've been going through the book of Revelation on Sunday night for over a year, and we studied these 24 elders that sat upon 24 or 24 thrones or seats. We noted that these 24 elders represent all the redeemed. It represents every person that's ever been born again. And you'll notice here that they have crowns, and they take those crowns and they cast them to the feet of the one that lives forever and forever. And of course, we know that to be, of course, Jesus Christ. And when they cast their thrones, they said, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. And so there's coming a time when we're going to give back to the Lord those things that He has given to us, those things that we have obtained in our personal life. Our rewards, our crowns, our blessings, I believe we'll give to Him in admiration for what He has done for us. We are there in heaven simply because of the day that He died upon Calvary, and that day we trusted Him in our personal life. Now let's begin and go through these different crowns and just note some things here, what the Scripture gives us, and I don't have them in any particular order. I'm just going to start here in 1 Corinthians chapter number 9 and verse number 24. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse number 24. First Corinthians 9:24 says, Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible crown. Therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. So here the Apostle Paul, as he writes to the church of Corinth, he mentions an incorruptible crown. He makes it in a relationship to a race, and he tells us that there's only, everybody does the race, but there's only one that runs, and one that wins. And so they all run, they all temper their body, they all do the same thing. And Paul says, every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate. And so they do it to obtain a corruptible crown. Paul, when he talked to the Corinthians, they understood some things about running and the different games that they had of that day. And Paul said, men will temper their body, they will get things in order where they can run in order to get a crown that is corruptible. That just simply means a crown that will fade away, a crown that will not last. It's here important right now, but in a few years it may not be worth a whole lot and just be a memory of what we won. But he says they do it to have an incorruptible crown, but we, a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. That just simply means it's an imperishable, a crown that will last forever and forever. This crown is given to believers who faithfully run the race. Paul says, I crucify myself daily. Paul says, I put my body under subjection. These are those that will take their desires of the flesh, and they will put that aside in order so they can point people to the Lord Jesus Christ. And these folks will receive a crown that God gives that's an incorruptible crown that's never, never going to fade away. Who can win this crown? Well, I believe everybody can. I believe every Christian can have a crown of tempering themselves and putting themselves in a position where they can be used of the Lord to run the race with patience, Paul says later on in the book of Timothy, he said, I've finished my course. I have done all the things the Lord told me to do. He said, therefore, I'm ready to be offered. He had run that race, and running that race will result in a crown that fadeth not away. It's a crown that is incorruptible. It's a crown that does not perish. It's a crown that literally will always be there that we can give back to the Lord for the ability to run the race. You and I this afternoon, we are where we are because of God's grace to us. We got up this morning because God permitted us to. God woke us up. God gave us ability. God gives us life. God gives us breath. God gives us food. God gives us substance that we can do our daily walk of life. And in doing that, we're to be using those things for His honor and for His glory. And so therefore, Paul says, man runs the race to get a crown that fades away. We just got through with some of the Olympics not just a few weeks ago. They won their gold medals and their bronze medals and their silver medals, and those are corruptible. They're not going to endure the test. But you and I tonight, as a believer, serving the Lord and honoring Jesus Christ and being a faithful witness telling others about the Lord Jesus Christ really is the crown that we can win because He has blessed us with ability to do that, and therefore we use it for His honor and for His glory. Basically, we run the race that God sets before us, and we're faithful in that. As I said earlier, the bottom line of the message tonight and all these other messages that we've had comes down to one word, being faithful. If we are faithful, we will win these rewards that God has for us. The incorruptible crown, to be willing to take part. And Paul identifies it like a race. It's a struggle. It's an undertaking that we have. And therefore, what we do for the Lord. He will give us an incorruptible crown. One of these days, those things will be known before us. And as we stand before the Lord at that judgment seat that we've dealt with already a couple of nights, as we stand before the Lord, He's going to, there in Corinthians said, some people are going to lose rewards, some's going to gain rewards. But those of us that are faithful and serving Jesus Christ, He's going to give to us a crown that is incorruptible, a crown that does not fade away. It does not go out of existence. So that's the first crown we look at. Now turn over with me to the book of 1 Thessalonians. The book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter number 2. First Thessalonians chapter number 2, verse number 19. For what is our hope or joy, and here it is, or crown of rejoicing? Sometimes this crown is called the crown of joy. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are ye even in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at His coming? For ye are our glory and joy. Here's the crown of rejoicing. I'm glad tonight that I have joy in my heart and have the blessing and the joy of Jesus Christ. To those who faithfully are witnesses to the saving grace of God, that He has led us and leads us to people, this crown has been named a soul winner's crown. This is a crown that God gives to folks that care about other people that maybe you come in contact with, or people around the world through missionary, that we would be faithful to show forth the message of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. Now, don't get me wrong. You don't have to go across the world to find people lost. You can find people lost across the street. You can find people at your place of work, and you can find folks that are lost everywhere you go. And so what is our joy? What is our hope? What is our crown of rejoicing? And so we find here that at His coming, He's going to give us the blessing and a crown because we have loved to tell people about Jesus Christ. I love to tell the story, the old song says, telling others about the grace of God, telling others about Jesus. The greatest thing that you can do is to share the message of salvation, that what has happened in your life can also happen to them. And they may not want to hear it some many times, but there are folks that will hear. There are folks that sometimes God deals with, you don't even know they're dealing with them. And by the words that you give, by the words and the message that you give to them, God brings a conviction upon their heart, and God uses you to bring them to a knowledge of Jesus Christ. You say, what if they don't get saved? Am I still going to be blessed of the Lord? The Bible tells us that we will, we that honor Him by witnessing and serving and telling Jesus' word to them and the message of salvation, trying to lead somebody to the Lord. Somebody says, well, maybe I'm not sure how to lead somebody to Christ. Well, just tell them what the Lord's done for you. Just tell them the blessing that's been in your heart, in your life, and make an effect in their heart, and have something said that might encourage them to consider the message of salvation. Most people today don't want to hear they're lost. Most people today don't want to believe they're lost. But this book tells us that all men have sinned, come short of the glory of God. And as a believer, we should be interested in telling someone else. The girl that got saved Sunday morning, first thing she told me after we I talked with her a little bit, she said, I can't wait to go home and tell my mom and dad. I can't wait to tell someone. And I know they'll be happy. The family has been in church, and they've just moved into the area. And she was a church member, but that's not enough. Being a church member is not enough. And she said, I don't know. She said, the last two or three times I've been, she said, the Lord been dealing with me that I just knew I wasn't going to heaven. Before she got up here, I believe she had it settled. I believe she took care of it before she ever made her appearance here at the front of the altar. And she had trusted Christ. And so folks that would encourage her, her family, and different ones that would encourage her, and the preaching of the Word of God, and the encouragement of friends and loved ones, those are all active parts of being a Christian and receiving the blessings of Jesus Christ and the crown of rejoicing. She was bubbling, she was happy, and she was rejoicing in what the Lord had done in her heart. What joy is that? What is our hope? What's our crown of rejoicing? It is knowing that we've been born again by the Spirit of God, and God brings about conversion upon people that have conviction in their life. The reason so many people today are not getting saved is because there's no conviction. I believe you have to have conviction. You have to realize you're lost. And then after that conviction comes conversion. And then after conversion comes commitment. And then we have the blessing and the knowledge to tell people of what Christ has done for us. If we could take time tonight and just have your testimony, it would bring a joy to our hearts just to hear how the Lord saved you. We are all saved in different places under different circumstances, but the same result comes about when we trust Christ. Doesn't matter who we are, doesn't matter where we are, doesn't matter what condition our life is in, when we trust Jesus Christ, immediately we become a child of God, and therefore we have rejoicing in our heart and in our life. And those that are instrumental in teaching us and telling us, and those of us that are instrumental in caring for people that are lost, one of these days God's going to give us a crown because of our faithfulness unto Him. Now look over with me to the book of James, again in the New Testament, James chapter number 1. And verse number 12. James chapter 1, verse 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. The crown of life. This is for believers. This crown is fashioned for believers that endure hardships, endure trials, tribulations, suffering, sometimes even unto death. Turn over Revelation chapter number 2. Revelation chapter number 2 and verse number 8. This is the message to the church of Smyrna. It says, unto the angel of the church of Smyrna write, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works, notice he says here, and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. For none of those things which thou shalt suffer, behold, the devil shall cause some of you to into prison, or cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried, and you shall suffer 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death. And notice here what he says, I will give thee a, what? Crown of life. So the crown of life is that crown that deals with people and folks that suffer tribulation, suffer problems, difficulties of being a child of God. And that is worldwide. Tonight there are many people suffering because they name the name of Jesus Christ. They suffer hardships. They suffer cruelty. They suffer difficulty in their life and in their families and in their beings because they're Christian. And it's becoming more and more, even in our country, that we suffer the tribulations and the problems. And James tells us there, as we read, that the Lord has promised them that love him, he shall receive a crown of life. Who is it to? That person that endures the tribulation or endures the temptation and passes over that and goes on and serves God anyway. And then there in Revelation where we read, there's a church that is under persecution. There's a church that's struggling. There's a church that the wicked one is after them and is trying to defeat them. And the Lord says, I'm going to give you the crown of life. Who can win that? Anybody that suffers. These are things that come to the child of God for the blessings of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has done for those of us that trust him and believe upon him. So these are the first three crowns. Now, having to go quickly through them because of time. But in 2 Timothy, go now to 2 Timothy. We're trying to use the scriptures that tell us these crowns that are given. And this probably is one of the most familiar in 2 Timothy chapter number 4. This is where Paul says to Timothy to preach the word. He tells him to be faithful, preach the gospel in verse number 2. He tells him there's a time in verse 3 coming when they will not endure the preaching or will not endure sound doctrine. In verse number 4, they shall turn their ears from the truth. Now in verse number 6, 7 and 8, we have the verses concerning the crown of righteousness. And Paul says, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. So Paul says, I have a crown laid up. Paul says, there's something waiting me on the other side. I'm ready to depart. My departure's at hand. Paul very quickly, very soon now, is going to have his head severed from his body because of the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. But he tells Timothy, he said, I'm ready to be offered. My departure is at hand. And he says, I have fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. And so he says, I have a crown of righteousness awaiting me, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. What day is he talking about there? The day that we read about last week and the weeks before, the judgment seat of Christ. And he says, and not to me only. I'm glad, thank God, Paul's not the only one going to have this crown. He says, it's not for me only, but notice who it is to, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Tonight, do we look for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ? Yes, we do. Do we love the thoughts of him coming and receiving us unto himself? We look for that day. We long for that day. Titus calls it that blessed hope that we have. We have that knowledge that one day Jesus shall appear. And Paul says, I have done all those things, and God is going to give me a crown of righteousness, but not to me only. Y'all put your name out there beside that. Not to me only. Thank God it's to all those that love the appearing of Jesus Christ. Do we want him to come tonight? I want him to come. I'm tired of this world. I'm tired of the troubles of the world. I'm tired of the world around us and the struggles that are around and the wickedness and the sin that's everywhere. We love his appearing. We preach about it. We sing about it. We pray for it. We ask God and we say, as John did, even so come, Lord Jesus. And Paul says here to Timothy, he says, I have a crown of righteousness waiting for me, and not to me only, but for all those that love the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. We anxiously await his coming. When is he coming? Oh, there's been a lot of people try to put dates upon it. I don't know when he's coming. I just know he's coming. I know the times. I know the seasons. And the Lord says we can understand the season that we're in by the budding of the fig tree. And we can understand some of those signs that God gives us that he is coming. But one thing for sure I do, I love the preaching. I love the talking. I love the old songs. A lot of our songs in our songbook, the very last stanza has to do with the coming of our Lord. Especially, it's amazing. Some of those songs that have five stanzas, usually the last stanza deals with the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do we love his appearing? Sure we do. And Paul says we have a crown because we love his appearing. And loving him, again, we are constrained by the love of Christ. And loving him and looking for him makes us ready for our departure, makes us ready that we can meet him, that we will one day be with him, makes us be able to fight a good fight if we love him and his appearing, makes us be able to say, I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. I haven't denied. I've loved and served God because he's coming. And Paul says, therefore, we will have a crown of righteousness. If you love his appearing tonight, you've got a crown. You've got a crown of righteousness that he has awaiting you and I. Now, turn over with me to the book of 1 Peter, chapter number 5. 1 Peter, chapter number 5. Let's look at verse number 1 through 4. 1 Peter 5 and verse 1. The elders which are among you, I exhort, him also an elder and a witness of the suffering of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Here is the crown that most of the time is called the pastors or the preachers or the called people that are serving God. And Peter deals here with the subject of the elders, which were none other than the pastors of churches, and he tells them how they're to respond and how they're to act. It tells us here that the pastor ought to feed the flock of God. It tells us that he takes oversight, not because he has to, but because he desires to. Not for filthy lucre, not for what he gets out of it, but for what he puts into it. He says here, and but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. Here's what Paul or Peter tells us. As a pastor, we are to deal with the people. We are to lead them and to love them. And may God help me to do that and to be the right kind of leader. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, then there's a crown of there for me. There's that crown that he has prepared for those that follow him, or a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Paul says we look for that incorruptible crown that does not fade away. And Peter says here that all those pastors and all those leaders that have to do with the service of God, God's going to give them a crown that fadeth not away. But what are we going to do with it? We're going to have these crowns. What do we do? Same place we read a while ago in Revelation chapter number 4. And we started with this verse. We'll end with it. We find here in verse number 4, they are clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. These are the crowns that are given to the child of God. Those 24 elders represent the redeemed of all ages, and God has given them their rewards. God has given them their crowns. God has blessed them with what they have done for him. And they're there around the throne of God. It's that rainbow-circled throne that we studied as we was there in this chapter. And they are there waiting. And then comes time that these elders, they fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and forever. That's verse 10. And cast their crowns before the throne. One of these days, every blessing that God gives to you and I, we're going to give it back to him. One of these days, every crown, every reward, every good deed that we have done, and God has blessed us with something in this life, or God's blessed us with crowns, or God's blessed us with rewards at the judgment seat, we're going to sit there one day and we're going to cast those crowns, those things back unto the Lord Jesus Christ, because one thing in verse number 11, he is the only one worthy. I'm not worthy of his blessing. I'm not worthy of his love. I'm not worthy of his salvation, much less something he might give me over and above that. And so when we are before the throne, before the Lord, we'll cast those crowns at his feet and we'll say, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, because you have created it all." This is his creation. He does with it as he pleases. And one day, I don't know if you remember those that were here, we had back here on the screen that throne and those encircled. Those represented all the redeemed of all ages and all time. And one of these days we're going to say, "Thou art worthy." Jesus Christ, he's the center attraction of heaven. It's not anybody else, not anything else. Jesus Christ should be the center attraction of our life, because he is the only one worthy to receive glory and power and honor. We don't need that. We don't deserve that, but he does. And all those things he gives us, we're going to give them back to him. And we get to heaven, thank God. We'll worship him throughout all eternity. And I believe we'll cry out, "Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah." Revelation 19, those four hallelujahs, because of what he's done for us. I didn't have to be born in a family to hear the gospel. I didn't have to be born in a country where the gospel was freely preached. I didn't have to be raised in a church where I could hear truth. I didn't have to come and be in a place where God could touch my heart. But by his grace and by his mercy and because of his love, I was put in that place, and so were you. We've heard it, and so therefore, we're not worthy of anything he gives to us, not even our salvation. But we'll give them back to him because he's worthy, he and he alone. May God help us to be found faithful. For one day we shall stand before God. One day we're going to give an account everything done in our body, every deed, whether good or bad, every idle word, every thought, everything. And that's to me is a very scary process. to think that I'm going to have to give an account for everything I've ever done. And I know most everything I've done. Nobody else knows it, but you know what? God knows it. And I'm going to have to say, yes, I'm guilty. Yes, I did that. And he may ask why. And I'll have to say, unfaithful. Unfaithful. But one day, thank God, he's going to say, you did this also. And I pray that the Lord's blessings will outweigh those loss of rewards that God has given to us, has for us, because he wants us to have them. He desires us to have the blessings, the rewards, and he wants us to have the crowns. And he makes everything possible for us to have them. It's left up to our faithfulness. May God help us tonight to be found faithful in the things of the Lord. Let's stand together.